I do extend greetings and a hearty welcome to everyone here this morning. I thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. And trust that our hearts and lives are open to the Lord this morning. I appreciate that song that we just sang. Of course, it says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Next verse says, "Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee." The next verse says, "Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee." Number 4 says, "Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine." Last verse says, "Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At Thy feet is treasure store." That's saying quite a lot. First of all, your life, your feet. What are you going to do with your feet today? What are you going to do with your lips today? What are you going to do with your will? I will, I'm planning, I will, I do. I plan to do this and this and this. My will, Lord, is yours. My love is yours. Anyway, it goes right along with what I have on my heart to share this morning. This morning I'd like to talk about counting the cost. Counting the cost. When you sang that song, did you count the cost? Take my life and let it be. And Jesus knew that there was going to be a lot of, or that he recognized that there was a lot of people that were wanting to follow him. And he told them, it comes with a price. It comes with a price. And that still is true for us today. Following Jesus is not the easy way. Following Jesus is not the easy way. The part of the burden of my heart is to encourage us to give him everything. That's part of the burden of my message. I know it, specifically looking at counting the cost in light of taking it seriously, taking the Christian life seriously, and really, I think too many have, and I know there's many, many testimonies, many, many life stories that we've heard of people that have begun, and Jesus talks about that even in some of the some of his messages that he preached of seed falling on good ground, seed falling around thorns and thistles, and seeds falling on rocky soil and so forth. Many accept it with gladness, accept the message with gladness. But did you count? Do we count the cost? And I think that's what Jesus is telling us in the Word that we will look at this morning. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read. That's going to be our text. Luke chapter 14. That's where the message is from. I preached this same message, but it's not the same message over in Turkey. So. This is a bit of a repeat of what I shared, but I added more to it. There I had to do it through a translator, so I had to really shorten my message and keep it to the point. So I added some more things here this morning. I would just like to request, if I can, if you can count the cost of sitting here this morning, if you could, I would solicit your attention, undivided attention if you can. I don't know that there's anybody pulling out cell phones, but if you have a cell phone, make sure it's on vibrate or off, and don't allow those distractions. The other thing is I would like, as much as possible, if we could stay in our seat and not be shuffling around more than we have to. That would be, so if you want to count the cost of listening to me. But the price, actually, of sitting and listening probably won't feel as expensive if your heart is desiring to learn this morning. It'll feel very, very expensive if it's like, oh no, I have to sit And I know there's some that are maybe out already, and they're going to be coming in. And hopefully it's not too embarrassing. But when you have the price, and I'll give you an example. Over there in Turkey, we were there. There were these little, they had these little cups, which we ended up getting a few. They have these little cups. They call them chai cups. And they also have these little saucers that they... It's not quite right here. I can't draw them as nicely as they are. But they have these little saucers that go underneath these chai cups. And we were pricing these things. The top part is glass. This is a little metal piece here. We were pricing some of these things, and some of them were really, really nice. But we thought the vendor was asking too much. Counting the cost, we were like, it's not worth it. It's not worth that much money. And I think he saw dollars and cents with us being Americans and everything. I think so. I'm not sure. Maybe it actually cost him that much. I don't know. And I wasn't going to chew him down and make him upset or anything. I was just like, okay, you can. I just won't need it. Counting the cost this morning, and I don't think you're if you need to leave here this morning, that's maybe making this too big of a deal. But if you need to leave to use the restroom and need to go for a little break and need to go stand in the back to wake up, that's fine. But if we can try to, if we have a heart to listen and pay attention to one that's sharing the gospel, sharing the message, I think the message time won't seem so long. So this is just free extra things. I didn't have plans of talking about this morning, but I did think about it. We can sometimes become careless in our travels back and forth. So see if you can, if it's worth your money, so to speak, to sit and listen to me. So actually, listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. I'll start in verse 25 through 33. We're just going to read from 25 to 33. I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to pull some points out of this. If you follow along, it'll help you stay engaged as well. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, it says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." So they were following him. A whole bunch of them were following him. But he says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." So Jesus is putting a price tag to following him. Jesus is putting a price tag to what it means to be a Christian. It costs everything. In one sense, it costs everything. In one sense, the gospel is free. Jesus' salvation is free. It's all, the debt is paid. The way is wide open. Jesus says, "Come." You know, in one sense, it's completely free. But in another sense, Jesus is saying, there's a price to pay. If you want to be my disciple, there is a price to pay. It doesn't just come without you needing to give something for it. So what is the cost? What is the cost? What does it cost? What does it cost an American to be a Christian? Perhaps that cost, that price is a little bit different in one sense than it is for somebody in maybe in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Yemen, some of those countries. Christians are very much hated, and it could, especially a preacher, probably cost his life, at least prison, at least hard labor, if nothing else. In America, Christianity is kind of okay, you know, at least if you're not too radical about it. It can be kind of okay in one sense. But true Christians have a price to pay. True Christians, believers, will have a price to pay. It will cost us something. If we sit, for those of us, I know some of us were talking about the adding a little piece to the church house for to have fellowship dinners, and also to use to extend if we have more people coming for services or something, that we can use it as an overflow, special services, all that. There's a price to pay. We had to count the cost. We're looking at how much it costs, and we look at that. We sit down those and look at those numbers. Is it something I can buy? Is it something that I can pay? If I, when we worked at getting prices together to build our house, can I take a loan out? And can I make the payments? At that, the first time that we bought a house that was up in Ohio, we were paying rent, and some of the going prices for rent, I knew about what I was able to do as far as with my income and so forth. And then I took that against the some of the loan payments that I was going to be needing to make. But I had to evaluate, can I pay the price? If I can't, there's somebody that I know just recently found out that if they don't get their payment in this next month, I think it's this next month or so, if they don't get their payment in this next month, the bank is going to foreclose on them. They can't pay the price. They can't pay the price. What about us in Christian life? Have we counted the cost? Are we able to or willing to? Some of it's our will and some of it's our ability to. I really believe God gives us the grace to pay the price if we're willing to. I really do believe that. It doesn't matter how much Jesus puts. I think that cost can be somewhat different for different ones. So just like Peter, for example, we'll try to highlight a few things that Jesus specifically mentions here, but think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was talking to Jesus there, and Jesus told him what kind of death he was going to experience. It was going to be a terrible death, and he was talking about the crucifixion that he was going to be enduring. And Peter seemed to know that there's something, this is something significant here, and he turns and he says, "What about John? What about John over here?" And Jesus said, "Don't worry about that. You follow me. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of that." You know, and that's true for us today. The price that I need to pay in the actual practical applications, practical life, may be different than what you need to pay. It's not 100% the same, but the principle is the same. The principle is the same for all of us. And so what is the cost? If we look here in chapter 14 here, the first thing that stands out to me is, number one, we must love Jesus Christ more than family. So we must love him more than our family. Family, family ties, family get-togethers, family do family, whatever. We must love him more. Looking in Luke chapter 14 here. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, that hate has more of the sense if you look at the whole context and so forth, some of the other translations bring it more in light of loving Jesus more. You have to love Jesus more. Put more value on Jesus than you do on your family. I do believe that God wants us to value family. We have family. We appreciate family. And I think that's God's will. It's God's order. Husbands, there's other scriptures that says, husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. And it also says, the other verses slipped my mind, but we know that is the heart of God also. Here it says hate. You have to hate so if we look at the whole, the message, we know that he's not specifically meaning we should hate them, hate our family in such a way as to wish or to make evil things happen, but rather we love them less. We don't put more value on our family than following Jesus. That's part of counting the cost. Part of the cost is the family. And some of the practical things where we may face pressures. Ways where we need to love Jesus more than family is we might face some pressures from our families to perhaps compromise. You know, maybe our family is saying, you wouldn't have to be so serious about your walk with the Lord or how you're dressing. You wouldn't have to be so serious about that. Do we love Jesus more or do we love our family more? And that can come very, very close home. For some of us, it's our parents, perhaps. For some of us, it may be brother and sister. For some of us, it may be our children. You know, the Bible talks about that will happen. But do we love Jesus more than those earthly ties? Perhaps it is even just simply to have fun with family. You know, do we love Jesus more than just simply having fun with family? Is Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, more important than that? More important than fun, just simply fun with family. counting the cost. Number two, we need to forsake our own selfish desires and passions. Forsake our own selfish desires. There's also passions. And where I get that from, that point number two, is where it says, and his own life also. As well as the very last verse that I read there in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has cannot be my disciple. You know, so we have our own life also. What are some of these things that we need to forsake? We need to forsake our own selfish desires and passions. What things are we maybe stubborn or like we heard about this morning, stubborn to just give up? And we want to hang on to our own selfish desires and passions. When I was younger, one of my brothers, he was struggling a bit. I don't think that's an issue in his life anymore, thankfully. But he was struggling a bit in his teenage years, probably even getting close to 20. He had this hair, which my mom, she gave us haircuts. But he had this thing, that he had this little hair, patch of hair up front here that was a little more fuzzy, whatever. He loved it. He loved it. He enjoyed that. And that was something that mom wasn't allowed to touch for some reason. Jesus is asking us to give up our own selfish desires. What are those things that we are hanging on to that we don't touch? Maybe it's our wallet. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of, I don't want anybody, I hope the Lord doesn't ask me to give up this. What is it? What are those selfish desires? Maybe it's our friends, a friendship that we would like to hang on to. Like I said, I don't know what specific things the Lord is pricking your conscience or making us think of right now. And maybe it's nothing. Maybe you feel like you've given up all those things. And praise the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But Jesus is asking us to consider the price. Consider that price. Consider, count the cost. And let me tell you, it is worth it. Those, that chai cup and that little saucer there, I didn't feel like it was worth it. So I didn't want to pay the money. This morning, what Jesus has to offer, it is worth it. It is worth it to pay the price. Are you with me? Let's forsake our own desires and passions. Are we willing to go all the way? Paul, why don't we turn to this? Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is Paul. I believe he was counting some of the cost there. But he, his value system was proper, I believe. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So here Paul, there was a prophet that told him this. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was revealing this to him numerous times, that you're going to be bound in Jerusalem. Something's going to happen in Jerusalem. Like we heard this morning, Mount St. Helens was going to blow up at that certain, which they didn't know the date, but that these rumblings were coming along, and they knew that there was something going to happen. Paul here also is hearing rumblings, so to speak, that something is going to happen when I go to Jerusalem, and it might cost my life. It might cost me everything I've got. But here he says, look at his response. I believe if our response is this way in whatever issue that we have that we need to overcome, we'll find the grace to overcome. He says, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. Brother Josh, you're beginning your course, and you want to end it with joy. I think of you in light of what Paul is saying here. Neither count I my life dear to myself. Go all the way like that, Josh. It'll be worth it. For all of us, that's those of us that have committed our life to the Lord 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20. I don't know how long it is, Brother Albert or Joe. I know he's not here this morning, but older brothers, many, many years perhaps. Neither count I my life dear to myself. We still need to have that same commitment. Are we willing to pay the price? Counting the cost. Forsaking our own selfish desires. Forsaking even our, not pitying our flesh, our self like Paul here. We see that even in spite of suffering, facing suffering, he was committed. He wanted to go all the way. It was worth the money, so to speak. It was worth the price. This morning, to follow Jesus, it is worth the price. Count the cost. Count the cost. You do want to be serious about it because it will cost us. You want to be serious about it because it will cost us our own selfish desires. It will cost us perhaps our family. Simon the sorcerer, he also, for some reason, was associating this with earthly money, which was not a proper evaluation. I'm not going to return to this scripture, but he was wanting to buy it with silver and with gold, the blessings of God. He was wanting to do that. And we can find ourselves perhaps trying to do that as well, doing it in a fleshly and in our own way. Another thing that where we perhaps in a practical way need to deny our selfish desires or forsake those things. I appreciated just recently Brother Nehemiah preached a message or a little opening concerning fasting and prayer. How about those things? Denying our own selfish desires. We sit at the table. I know it's hard for us when, hard for me anyway. I sit around and my wife's good cooking comes around and you smell the food and the children are all excited about food and you sit down there. Like, oh, earlier I thought I was going to skip because I'm burdened about this situation or whatever. Or I just thought it might be good for me just to seek the Lord in fasting and prayer. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to deny those earthly passions and desires. It's not easy. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Let's count the cost. Those are some very practical things where we have to bring our body to subjection to the Lord. Even our thoughts, we need to deny and forsake those earthly and selfish desires. Number three, bear the cross. Bear the cross. For many people in this world, they would actually go and bear some cross, put some necklace on maybe. That's not the cross that Jesus is talking about that we would bear. He's not saying that we should bear some earthly cross or to go and get some piece of wood and put it on our shoulder. That's not the cross that Jesus is talking about here when he says in... In verse 27 there in Luke, it says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross," and whosoever doth not bear his cross. In other words, we need to bear our cross. That cross, to me, speaks nothing but death. It speaks of death. Death to the old man. Death to our own carnal nature. Death to our carnal mind. Even the way we think. Especially when our mind is not taking us down the road of when our mind is filled with this world and carnal and we are allowing our old man to be Lord, that needs to die. That really needs to die, and it'll go contrary to how we feel. We don't enjoy to die. We don't enjoy dying. It's not a pleasant thing. But Jesus calls us to take the cross. And in some of the other passages that talks about the cross as well, it says that we should daily take up this cross. It's not just simply when we kneel down before the Lord in repentance, that time when we surrender everything to God. Yes, we take up the cross then. But it's today again. How do I bear the cross? How do I do that? Maybe it is in my death. How do we bring death to our old man? Maybe if our old man, we feel like we are getting shortchanged. Maybe on some business deal. Maybe someone cheats us a bit. Or maybe it's the IRS, and we feel like it's not fair that we have to pay so much taxes, or they have taken it, we feel like, you know, perhaps that's our feeling. But if we bear the cross, we do not allow those thoughts. We take those thoughts and bring them to submission to Jesus. That's part of bearing the cross. Taking those thoughts and saying, no, that's not the right way to think. That's not the right way to respond. That's not the right way to act. You bear the cross. You bring death to the old man. You bring death to that way of thinking. That's not a right way of thinking. That's not a right way of viewing things. I don't know what this speaks to you about, but when I think of Jesus and him bearing his cross and the mind that was in him, the mindset, the concept, the way of thinking was just, he wasn't there to just please himself. He was there because he cared for others. He was there because he cared for others. And I think we need to embrace the cross. Just like Jesus did, he embraced the cross. He didn't run from it. He didn't turn from it when it was difficult to bear. There in the garden when he was praying, when he was seeking the Lord, and he did actually ask, Lord, can this thing be removed from me? But his resolve was the same. I'm going to bear the cross. I'm going to bear the cross. Jesus was a good example in paying the price. Jesus was a very good example in that. In Matthew 16, I'll just read this. You don't have to turn to this. Matthew 16, 24 to 26, it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I thought it was interesting you reading that story this morning, Mervyn, that man there on Mount St. Helens. Thank you. Everything that he wanted to do, he had accomplished. And yet, how empty it left him when that thing blew up. Also makes me think of a story that I heard not too long, I think it was last fall in meetings up there in Liberty. Somebody was sharing about these, I think it was seven of the richest men. I forget what their names were, but it was some of the top people. Six or seven of them, they met up in Chicago somewhere, talking about gaining the whole world. These seven, they were probably the seven most rich men in the world. I'm not sure if they were the richest, but almost very, very rich men. And they were gathered around there trying to figure out something about their finances and how to, I guess, secure them. So I'm not sure exactly what all the meeting was about. But they were so empty of meaning in life. You know, they had everything at their fingertips. They had everything a person, a human, could dream of as far as ease of life, comforts of this world, saving his life, like Jesus says. They had that. They left there, and I forget how short of a time it was. It was very, very short time from there. Within very few years, all of those had either committed suicide or done something. One of them ended up as a poor person, very, very poor for some reason. I forget what it was, but he lost it. He lost it. What's the price? What price? Jesus lifts that up in Matthew 16 there. If you come follow after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Yes, that's the price. You have to follow, you're going to take up the cross and follow me, he says. Then he concludes that saying, and if you want to save your life, if you just want to protect your life, if that's what you want to do, you just want to put protections all around you, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your life. But if you lose yourself, you just simply pour yourself out for the Lord. You say, Lord, I give everything, everything to you, completely everything. Lord is yours. You're going to find it. You're going to find life. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do that? Bearing the cross for Jesus, for our Lord. It's not a wooden cross that we're going to, maybe Jesus will ask us to be crucified on that cross. I don't know about that one, but that's not what he's talking about here when he says, bear your cross. He's talking about denying ourself, denying our flesh, denying that sinful habit that we have, that sinful thing that we have left overcome. We bear the cross and we say no to that. We say, Lord, I am yours. I am selling out to you. And I don't want it. I don't want anything else but you. I don't want anything else but you. I'm selling out. It's no longer me, Lord. It's you. Bearing the cross. Point number four. My last point here. We can have point number one. That we love Jesus more than family, in one sense, I guess, maybe. Point number two, we can forsake our own selfish desires, whatever those may be. We can bear the cross, kind of deal with the carnal mind. But it's very important for us to follow Jesus. It's very, very important that we don't leave this one out. In other words, we can sometimes, some of these other things can be very, very maybe easier for us to identify. But how do you follow Jesus today? Jesus is not here in physical body like we see each other. He's not here in that way. But he is here present in spirit. He is here. He said he would be where two or three are gathered in his name. He also said he's going to be with us to the end of the world. Jesus talks about that. Jesus is going to be that for us. But where he says there in Luke 14, he says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. So we need to get up and go on. The rich young ruler, Jesus asked of him, he said, go sell what you have. And then come follow me. He was told him to do one thing, but he also said another thing is, come follow me. After you've sold your things, after you've sold your possessions, after you've done all these things here, after you've loved Jesus more than your family, you've forsaken your own desires, you bear the cross, you know what it means to bear the cross, after you've done all that, follow me. And he gives us his spirit that tells us what is right and what is wrong. We make a whole bunch of decisions throughout a day where if we're paying attention, it's the voice of God telling us just in a still, we come to a place of decision. Should I go to town today or not? Should I go get that piece for whatever, to replace that broken tool, whatever? Should I go start another project? What should I do? Maybe mom's calling me and asking for my help, and we're at a place of decision. Little choices, and I know some of those things seem very, very far out, and I'd like to bring it a little bit more close home where, for instance, what time we get up in the morning can be little choices of following Jesus. When I say getting up in the morning, why would we get up in the morning? Sometimes getting up on purpose, earlier than we feel like. But why? Why do I get up? Some people don't have their devotions in the morning, but I do. I have my devotions, my personal devotions in the morning, because it works better for me. And it may not work for you, but there are purposeful things that I do in my life because I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I get up in the morning purposely, just before the day things start hammering me all over the place, so I can have time in the Word and I can have time with the Lord on my knees before the Lord, following Jesus. Those are very purposeful things in a daily way that you and I can do. I think of the words of Psalmist David, King David there. He says in Psalms there, he says, you said, and I can't quote it quite right, but seek my face. The Lord said, basically, he said, seek my face. And he said, my soul said, or my heart said, thy face will I seek. In other words, Jesus says, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. Now, if your heart says, amen, I want to follow him. If your heart, if you turn your heart in that way, God will help you with the rest of these things. God will help us with the rest of those things. If our heart says, amen, I want to follow. I know, Brother Josh, you are making very deliberate choices in following Jesus. You want to be baptized next week. That's good. Keep doing those things. Keep doing those things. Those are very important choices that we make, you and I make all the time. Little choices, little things. The amount of time that we spend with godly friends, godly people, building friendships. The amount of time that we spend just on carnal fun things can make a complete difference on whether we really are following the voice of God or not. And it can, those, when we're just even busy, it's okay to have a nice time of playing games sometimes and those things. I know next week, Lord willing, we'll play with the children, school children some, Lord willing. There's an okay time for some of those things. But if those things become our driving force, if that's what we've become focused on, it will drown out this thing of following Jesus. We won't be able to hear very clearly anymore. It drowns that out in a very simple way. It drowns that out when we busy our life with other things too much. Jesus talks about another thing. It's just simply the cares of life. You know, sometimes the cares of life just get so heavy. We have so much to do. You got to go to work again today. You got to, whatever. You know, just you have children to take care of. Children are fussing again, and they messed up the kitchen, and they messed up the living room, and dad's got bills to pay, and you know, the cares of life. Those things are some of the facts that we face. We have cares of life. But Jesus also cares about those cares of life. And it's important that we bring those cares to him. It's important that we do that. But in the middle of all that, if our heart is turned towards following the Lord, we will find opportunities. We will purposely find opportunities to make so that we can follow Jesus very specifically. We will do that. Having a heart towards our hearts turned towards the Lord. We get our direction from Jesus and his word. That's how we can follow him. We turn our hearts toward the Lord in seeking him. We invest in the kingdom of God. That's another thing that I thought of. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. If we spend a lot of time on the computer, just browsing, just looking for this fun thing or that fun thing, or we spend a lot of time in things that have less value, our value of the kingdom of God will be lessened. We won't appreciate it. But if we turn our hearts, that way and we invest. We start investing. That's what we need to do. We need to continue to do it. Us older folks, we need to have that encouragement. Keep investing in the kingdom of God. Keep investing in the needs, the body of Christ, in investing. It talks about the body, each joint fulfilling or filling the needs that are there. Every one of you, every one of us has that possibility, that potential, that ability. And as we do that, as we minister, as we care, as we invest in the kingdom of God, our heart will also naturally go there in following Jesus in that way, investing in his kingdom. I'm not going to read these verses, but in Matthew 6, if you want to look it up, Matthew 6, 19 through 24, it talks about laying up our treasure, or laying up our treasures in heaven, where those moth and rust does not corrupt. Also in John 10, my sheep know my voice. Are we following Jesus? Are we paying attention to that still small voice? We just kind of have an urge. We have an urge to maybe confess something. Maybe it is to witness to someone. Maybe it is to pray for someone. Sean is over in Turkey. Maybe the Lord puts it on your heart to pray for him specifically about some burden, maybe something that he shared in his update this past week. That still small voice. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. There's a lot of voices in this world, but are we hearing the voice of Jesus? Count the cost. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth that much? Loving Jesus more than my family. Forsaking what I wanted to do today, this afternoon. What felt good. Because I cared for someone else. Because I care to reach out into somebody else's life. Because I want to be a follower of Jesus. I forsake that. Bear the cross. I don't feel like responding this way. I don't feel like talking to so-and-so. But I bear the cross. I do it anyway because I want to be a follower of Jesus. Follow Jesus. Hear his voice. Listen for that voice. Counting the cost. Is it worth it? It is worth it. It is worth it. And also, I believe, like, and I know you probably know that some of my favorite verses are there in 2 Peter, where he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That is true here too. Jesus will help us pay the price if our hearts turn toward him. It's not too expensive. It's not more than you can bear. It's not more than any one of us can experience in our life. Counting the cost. The question is, are we willing? Do we see the value there? Do we see the value there? It's really a big issue is where our values are. It is where it makes all the difference. If I would have valued that little saucer thing enough, I'd have said, sure, I'll pay it. But the value wasn't quite enough. It was just a bit out of my reach of what I could have paid it, sure. The same thing is true for us this morning. We can pay it, but do we value Jesus more than ourselves? I just would like to encourage us to go all the way. Go all the way, and it is worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Let's go all the way. Let's give the Lord everything we've got. May the Lord bless you.